Oh, that's good, because we're going to look at a few verses of Scripture today. We're going to begin in Acts chapter 16. I'd like for you to make your way over there. We'll be there this morning, and we'll visit a few other verses while we're in the neighborhood. But Acts 16 is where we'll begin. I've got a message today I'm titling, When One Door Closes. When one door closes, you know what people say. When one door closes, God will open another. He'll open a door or maybe a window or maybe a crack for you to squeeze through. But when one door closes, we're in Acts chapter 16, and we're going to begin in verse 6. Now, this is about Paul and Barnabas and their ministry, and they've been on their missionary journey very successfully, by the way. The Lord has blessed their labors. Souls are being added to the kingdom. The kingdom of Christ is expanding through their missionary labors. Verse 5, actually, of chapter 16 says, the churches were established in the faith and increased in number daily. Good things were happening. God was really moving, opening many doors for them. Verse 6, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost, stopped in their tracks, door closed in their face. The Holy Ghost told them, you're not going there. Now, we don't know how the Holy Ghost spoke to them at that point. Was it through a prophetic word? Did one of the prophets have a message? Perhaps. Was it just an inner knowing, an inner knowledge, a vision, a dream? We don't know. What we do know is that that door closed. They were going to preach the word in Asia. Boom! Door closes. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed, their plan was, to go into Bithynia. But that door closed. The Holy Spirit did not allow it. So they passed through Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. You know, God sent visions in biblical times. I believe God can still send us visions and dreams and give us prophetic messages. We have to believe in a God who is, not was, a living God. A vision appeared, and there stood a man of Macedonia. Now, you know, this is Greece. This is the area of Greece, Grecia. And he prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So here you have Paul and Barnabas in their missionary exploits. And this is just a little small glimpse here into how God steered their path. You know, God will direct our paths. Amen. He does steer our course if we will allow him to do so. And he does it sometimes in ways that we don't maybe understand or expect, because sometimes a door may close in your face, a door that you fully expected to go through, a door that you fully expected to open. Maybe your plans were this plan that you made, or this dream, this ambition, this desire, only to find the door close right in your face. It does happen. Sometimes doors close. We're talking about, you know, doors of opportunity. Sometimes our plans don't materialize. At least they don't happen the way we thought it would happen or the way we thought things would go. It doesn't always go the way we think. But let's also see what our response should be here in this passage. What should our response be to a closed door? Do we panic? Do we become distraught and distressed? And do we fear? Do we doubt God's call or ministry or anything else? No, our response in all things and at all times, trust God.
Amen.
He knows. Yes.
He does know.
He knows what's going on in your life. In fact, there's times that He arranges these things in your life, and we don't understand it at the time, just like I'm sure Paul didn't understand it at the time. But you know, here's what I've learned. I don't always have to understand. And God doesn't really find it necessary to explain to me why He does what He does. He's never found it necessary to get my approval ask for my advice. So we learn that we serve a God who happens to be God. He reigns. We sang it today. Our God reigns. I mean, we sing it, but we don't always act like we believe it. So we trust God no matter what our circumstances are. You know, Paul, of all people, Paul spoke quite a bit about open doors, about God opening doors for him to preach, doors of opportunity for them to missionize. In fact, he asked the churches to pray for him, that God would give him an open door. Let me read a verse to you. You don't have to turn here, but you know, if you're taking notes and you want to write it down, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 8 and 9, Paul wrote the church in Corinth. Now, he was in Ephesus at the time, but he wrote the church in Corinth, and he said, I'm going to remain here in Ephesus until Pentecost. And this is why. He says, for a great and effectual door is opened unto me. But there are many adversaries. There's a whole lot of opposition to me being here, but God has opened the door. So even when God opens a door, it doesn't mean that it comes without opposition. And just because you have opposition doesn't mean it ain't God. You might think, oh, this opposition, this can't be God. Well, God opened up this door for the ministry, for the gospel to go forth. You can expect opposition.
True.
The devil's not going to lay down.
Amen.
He doesn't surrender.
No.
It's the Christians who surrender. God doesn't surrender. The devil doesn't surrender. We're on the winning side here.
Amen.
If we don't surrender.
That's true.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, Paul said, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, a door was opened unto me by the Lord. A door was opened. Opportunity. God gave him a place, an opportunity to share. This is a good thing, these open doors that God gives us, these opportunities.
Amen.
He wrote to the church in Colossae. And he asked, he said, pray for us that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ.
Amen.
Pray that God would open a door. I think we should pray for open doors.
You're right.
That I get to share my faith.
Amen.
You know, I don't think I should ever get a phone call from anybody in this conversation, and anybody in this congregation, that says, Brother Rusty, there's a guy over here, he wants to get saved. Would you come minister to him? That's what you're supposed to do. You talk to him. You lead him to the Lord. You pray with him. Oh, Brother Rusty, there's a lady over here, she really wants to get saved. Pray for her. You are Christ's ambassador.
Amen.
You are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't believe in this separation of clergy and laity, where the clergy does all the religious stuff and everybody else just occupies a seat. We don't come to watch a ritual. We come to be instructed so that we can go out and share and pray and preach and minister. You can pray for the sick. You can pray that they would be healed. You can lead someone to Christ. You can witness. I mean, if you called and said, Brother Rusty, would you come pray? This lady wants to get saved. I would probably come. But then I'm going to scold you. For not growing up. Hey, I'm going to challenge us today.
Give them a Bible.
You can give them a Bible, that's right. In Acts chapter 20, excuse me just a second. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 27, you don't have to turn there, but when they came to Antioch, you know, that was the home base for Paul and the disciples, Antioch. When they came to Antioch, they gathered all the church together and they gave them a report. And this was the report of all that God had done with them. And how he opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. God opened the door of faith. So that they were able to preach to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles heard the word of God preached. And they came to Christ. Oh, let me tell you. God opens doors. Sometimes he closes doors. But what a blessed opportunity when he opens the door for us to share the gospel. Don't you know that when you have that opportunity, that's God who opened that door for you. He opened that door just for you to be able to share, to be able to speak to someone, to be able to pray with someone. You have opportunities that so often we pass by. Somebody's complaining about a problem they have. They're so worried. They have this situation going on in their family. What an opportunity for you to say right then and there, would you let me pray with you right now? What an opportunity. What an open door. Who's going to say, no, I don't want your prayer? No, you're going to have an opportunity right then and right there to pray with someone if you will take it. Amen. If you will walk through the open door that God gives you. Sometimes doors close. This happens too. They wanted to go into Asia. We read right here in Acts chapter 16. They wanted to go into Asia. This was a part of what's referred to as Asia Minor. It's actually proconsular Asia. It would have been along the coastline of modern Turkey. That's where they wanted to go. That's where Paul wanted to go. This would be the area where they would later go and establish the seven churches of Asia Minor that we read about in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. But when they wanted to go there, the Holy Spirit shut the door. Sometimes the Lord shuts doors. Sometimes a shut door just means not yet. Sometimes it doesn't mean no, it means not now. So that door was closed. So, okay, we'll go to Bithynia, Acts 16, verse 7. That's where we'll go. Holy Spirit shut that door too. It just wasn't the right time. Sometimes doors close. We don't always understand why. But in all things, what do? We trust the Lord. We trust the Lord. Whether a door's open, we trust the Lord. He's opened it. We're going to walk through and share the gospel. Or if a door's closed, then we stop and we say, okay, Lord, what? Where? What's next? I really feel like, in a sense, like Brother Joe was saying a little while ago, that we're kind of closing a door, you might say, on 2018. We're closing a chapter in our lives. These are the last days of the year. The sand is just about out of the hourglass as far as 2018 is concerned. And you know what's going to happen in just a day or two? We're going to close that door and it's going to be closed forever. 2018 will be gone and gone forever, and you'll only be able to visit again in your memories. And for most of us, I think it's true this year like it is for every year, it's kind of a bittersweet year, you know. 2018, certainly we saw some good things. We saw even some great things in 2018. In our family, we had a brand new grandbaby in 2018. That's always a wonderful thing. And we have, of course, so much to be thankful for. You know, in the entire year, 365 days, my wife didn't throw me out the house once. I didn't have to spend one single night in the doghouse, praise God. The dog wouldn't share anyway, you know. I have a roof over my head 365 days this year. We had air conditioning. We had plumbing. What a blessing, praise God. I had a vehicle to drive, and I had a church to drive to, a church body that actually smiles when they see me most of the time, you know. A lot to be thankful for. The Lord provided enough. I didn't miss any meals unintentionally. I had a God all year who didn't give up on me. Even when I didn't always meet his expectations, you know. A lot to be thankful for.
Yes, we do.
In another sense, it was a very difficult year for our family.
Yep.
We buried two young nephews this year that we loved very, very much.
Amen.
And we were close to. And it broke our hearts. Two young men in the prime of life. Sometimes life takes unexpected turns. And now we face the dawn of a brand new year with all that it holds for us. And we don't know what that may be.
Amen.
But we like to look with expectation. We like to look with hopes. And like Brother Joe said, it's almost like we get to push a reset and you start over. It's a whole brand new year. And this is the time when I think it's prime for us to do a little bit of reflection and maybe a little bit of self-examination. And here's where I would like to ask us a few questions today. This is just for you to answer. This is where I would ask each and every one of us, what could I have done better this past year? Looking back over 2018, what could I have done better? How could I have been a better man, a better woman, a better Christian, a better father, better mother, better daughter? What actions, what steps, what measures could I have taken that would have made it a better year? You know, we don't always have the outcome that we hope for in all of our actions or conversations. So if you think back into some of those conversations, some of the things that developed as a result of them, what could you have done better? What could you have done different? That would have changed, perhaps, things. I want to challenge us. We've got a brand new year ahead of us. I want to challenge each and every one of us, and I want to challenge you personally to stretch, to be a better person, a better Christian, a better son, daughter, husband, wife, mother, father, brother, sister. I want you to stretch this year. I think stretching is a good thing for us.
Amen.
Stretch your faith.
Amen.
Humble yourself. Swallow your pride.
Amen.
Apologize.
Yes.
From the heart.
Yes.
Make amends.
Amen.
Make restitution. And I'm going to issue to us today four challenges. Challenge number one is this. Will you discipline yourself in this new year to read your Bible every day? That's a simple challenge.
Amen.
Will you personally, discipline yourself, because that's what it takes,
yeah,
self-discipline, to read the Holy Scriptures every day in this coming year?
Amen.
Now, you don't have to sit down and read for an hour or two. Will you read for 15 minutes?
Amen.
You know, if you will read for 15 minutes a day, you can go through the entire Bible in a year.
That's right.
15 minutes a day.
Amen.
You can read through the entire 66 books of your Bible if you will take 15 minutes each day. Now, if you don't have a one-year Bible, I suggest you pick you up one. I've had one since 1990. And it divides the Bible into 365 readings so that there's a reading for each day of the month. And you work yourself through it in a year. You say, Brother Rusty, I mean, I just don't understand the whole point of it all. I don't know what you would gain. Oh, you would gain so much. The daily discipline of Bible reading. You know what the Bible says, even about itself. Our faith is encouraged. Our faith is enlarged. Our doubts are diminished. We're spiritually fed. We're spiritually challenged. We're watered, you know, the washing of water by the Word of God. We're refreshed. We meditate on what's right and true and pure, and we flush out a lot of the garbage. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
Amen.
That's what we live by. We live by every word. Can't live by words you don't remember or don't know. Psalms 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word lights the way. When there are doubts and worries and fears, what does God's word say? That lights the path for us. It shows us the way to walk. It shows us how to live.
Amen.
Thy word, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path.
Thank you, Lord.
Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. This is how you live, beloved.
Amen.
We don't live by the opinions of men.
No.
We don't live by what's popular with the rest of the world. We live by what saith the Scripture.
Amen.
And it's so important,
yep,
that we are familiar,
yep,
with the Scriptures. Because I'm going to tell you the truth. Most Christians are not. Most Christians are biblically illiterate. This should not be so for you and me.
That's
right. Amen. Psalms 119, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee.
Amen.
With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Psalms 119, verse 133, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. How about this one? Psalms 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law. That's the word. Great peace have they which love thy word. Nothing will cause them to stumble. Great peace. You want peace? Open up that Bible. Read that Bible. Jesus said in his prayer in John 17, he said, sanctify them. He's praying to the Father for his disciples. He said, sanctify them through thy truth.
Thy word
is truth. John 17:17. Sanctify them, purify, cleanse, set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You see, you read the word, you read the truth. It erases the garbage. And it establishes you strong in the faith. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2:2, put that one in your memory bank. Memorize it, quote it, as newborn babes, as hungry as a baby is when it cries for mama's milk, you desire, long for the undiluted word of God. Undiluted. We don't need anybody to water it down for us. Just give us the word of God. Jesus didn't water it down for us. This is the Bible. This is what it says. Desire the sincere milk of the word. That you may grow. You see, there is a goal. The goal is growth. Y'all awake? You know, I'm not going to scold us. Really, I'm not. But we have time for TV. We have time for social media. We have time. Well, we're going to make it to the gym. We got time. We're going to get to work. We got time for activities. We got time to eat out or time to eat, period. Here's my question. Just for you. Did you open your Bible yesterday? Did you open your Bible yesterday? Did you open your Bible Friday? Did you open your Bible Thursday? Okay. You're doing good. Can I tell you something?
Yes.
We're not going to do better in the new year if we don't change what we did in this year. I heard an expression one time and I thought, this is great. This is a great expression. Change nothing and nothing changes. Change nothing and nothing changes. If you don't change your habits, nothing's going to change. Change nothing and nothing changes. Oh, I'm tired of living. I don't have no victory. I don't have no peace. I don't have no joy. Change nothing. Nothing changes. You're going to have a replay of this year if you don't change something for next year. Challenge number two. First one was, will you discipline yourself to open your Bible every day? Let's challenge ourselves to read through it in a year. You can find a one-year program somewhere where you know the scriptures you need. You don't have to go buy a special one-year Bible. But every day read. I mean, you can do 15 minutes a day. Second challenge. Will you discipline yourself to be consistent in the church assembly? Will you discipline yourself to be faithful, to be committed? You know, committed, the word everybody's afraid of in our society. That's why they don't get married, because they won't make a commitment. They don't want to commit to one person. Will you? The emphasis is on will you. See, it's in your court, whether you will be consistent or not. It's really in your court. It's not up to your mama to wake you up and get you in church.
Amen.
It's not up to your husband or your wife. Well, I don't go because my wife didn't get me up. Really? Does she have to get you up for work? It really is important for us to be a part of the New Testament assembly. We cannot minimize its importance. We cannot minimize it because Christ put an emphasis on it. You read in the scriptures where it was his custom to be in the synagogue every Sabbath. So if we were going to correlate that to, you know, modern times, we'd say Jesus was in church every Sunday. Jesus went to church every Sunday. Jesus went to church every Sunday.
Amen.
Well, we're correlating it to our modern times.
Yes.
Now, guess what? Jesus went to church even when He knew more than anybody else there. He went to church even though he was the most spiritual person there. He still went. And he'd listen to them read, and he'd listen to them pray, and he'd listen to them talk. And then he'd take his opportunities. So he was the most spiritual. You know, there's some people who won't go to church because, oh, no, I'm more spiritual than all the rest of them. They're not very spiritual. I'm much more spiritual than them. You're not more spiritual than Jesus. He's here. I believe that unless you're sick or you're working or, you know, there's some other circumstance, for, you know, maybe a vacation or whatever, you know, there's legitimate absences. But unless you have a legitimate reason to not be here, you should be here. That's what I believe. As a disciple. Disciple, where we get our word discipline. See, it's a discipline to motivate yourself because ain't nobody going to do it for you. You have to motivate yourself and get moving. I believe we should be eager, excited, faithful participants in the church assembly. And when we're not, I believe it's because we're lazy.
Amen. You're right.
You know, it's a... One day I'm just going to preach on all the things the Bible has to say about sloth.
Amen.
There's a whole lot in the Bible about the slothful. But the Lord encourages the disciple to be disciplined. Here's what I know. If we treated our work or our school the way we often attend church, if we were as faithful at work or as faithful at school, we'd have been expelled and fired. But change nothing. And nothing changes.
Amen.
Will you discipline yourself? You know you can do it.
Yes, I can.
Not only can you do it, but do you think you should?
Yes. Yes.
Do you think it would make a difference in your life if you did?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you something true. I very rarely have to spend much time counseling and correcting people who are consistent in church. Just the fact, that's 37, I think, years of pastoral ministry. Very little time do I have to spend counseling with people who are consistent in church. It's just the facts. And if you want to live a consistent life, be consistent. It's up to you. Change nothing. Nothing changes. Look. Keep your finger here in Acts 16, but I want you to look with me over to Mark's Gospel, chapter 13. I want to read a passage over here, if you'll turn with me quickly. Mark chapter 13, we're just going to read a couple of verses. We don't want to be found a sleeping, lethargic, lackadaisical, or Laodicean church, right? In Mark 13, let's read beginning in verse 28. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer's near. So ye in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it's near. Even at the doors, he's talking about the signs of the end. Verily I say unto you, this generation will not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth will pass, But my words will not pass. You can count on them, right? But of the day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. Christ's coming will be sudden and unexpected for most. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work assignment, and he commanded the doorkeeper, the guard, to watch. Now, this is the Lord's illustration. This is what it's like. The Son of Man is as a man who took a long trip. And because he was going to be gone from his big household, he gave assignments to all of his servants. This is your responsibility. This is your duty. This is your job. I'm going to be gone, but I'm coming back. And he said he commanded the doorkeeper, the guard, to watch. Verse 35, watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, whether at evening or midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Now, if he gave assignments, duties, responsibilities to each and every one of his servants. Now, you know, that's us. He's talking about us. And when he comes back, what's really the first thing that's going to be important? That's that they're present.
Amen. True.
Well, I believe that as Christians, our presence is a foundational duty and responsibility.
Amen.
And you know what? It's a privilege.
You're right. Thank you, Lord.
I consider it a privilege to have a church to go to. You want to know the truth? Here's my third challenge. A third challenge. Will you discipline yourself to read your Bible every day? Will you discipline yourself to be faithful in the church? In the church assembly. Thirdly, will you discipline yourself to be spiritually minded this year? Will you discipline yourself to be spiritually minded this year? Now this is important. Romans 8 and verse 5 says, those that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Amen.
To be spiritually minded, life and peace. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. To be spiritually minded, life
and
peace. Who wants peace? Who wants life? Peace in your mind, peace in your heart, peace in your home.
Yeah.
Peace of mind, peace to sleep.
Amen.
On the other hand, who wants to be tormented? Who wants to wrangle and wrestle and vie and fight and strive? They that are after the flesh. This is what Paul says in Romans. There's the great distinction between people who are merely religious and those who are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. One group is after the flesh. I mean, they're under the power and dominion of that which is worldly and carnal. It's a spirit of rebellion that's in the world and unfortunately in the church. And therefore they mind the things of the world, the things of the flesh. To mind them means they relish them. That's what the Greek word means, to relish. They dwell upon it. They strive for it. The worldly things, things of the flesh. Let me tell you how Thayer defines it. theia in his Greek lexicon. To mind the things of the flesh, he says, to be of one's party political. To strive for and live by one's feelings and opinions and views. All the things that pertain to the present life, but have no relish for what is spiritual and eternal.
Amen.
They that are after the Spirit, on the other hand, are spiritually minded. They're thinking on those things that are right and just and true and pure. These are men and women who relish the things of the Spirit. We have to live in a temporal world, but we realize we're just passing through here.
Amen.
We're not going to let it cling to us, and we're not going to let it govern us. Our minds, our thoughts, our hearts. Here's my challenge to you in 2019. Church, we're too much in the political arena. And our spirit begins to reflect the spirit of the world, which is striving and hating and denouncing and angry and bitter. And when you're yelling and screaming and bitter, you're not witnessing and praying and believing. Years ago, I saw something that revolted me, and it's an image I never got out of my mind. Years ago, when I went to India and saw poverty like I've never seen before, there were people who lived in sewer pipes. There were people who lived under trees. I mean, that was their home. They lived under a tree, or they lived on the side of the road. And of course, there's the sewage situation in India is horrible. Because there were open ditches, open sewers that ran along the side of the street where people went to the bathroom. This is where they went to the bathroom, and everything they had to do, they did right there in public, in the open sewers. And if you drove by in the mornings, you would see people bathing in that sewer. They would walk down to the sewer, and they would dip their rag in, and we saw that so many times. They would wash their clothes in the sewer, whatever. There's poverty in the world that we have a hard time grasping. But can I tell you, as revolting as that was to bathe in sewage, I feel like that almost every time I watch these bitter politics, like I'm bathing in sewage. This is what I feel like. The bitter, the angry, the finger pointing, the accusations. I don't want to bathe in that. I don't want that part of my spirit. I remind myself, I'm not of this world. I'm not supposed to be like this world. So, you know, I'll leave the politics to those who are angry. I'm not bathing in the sewer. I'm not going to do it. And I'm going to ask you not to either. I'm going to ask you to rise above that. I'm going to ask you in 2019, will you be spiritually minded? Will you look to Christ? We sing our God reigns, but I'm going to tell you, not too many people believe it, because they act like he doesn't. I have great peace. It doesn't matter what's going on in Washington. You know why I have peace? Because I believe God reigns.
Amen.
I really believe he reigns. Daniel chapter 4 says the Most High reigns in the kingdoms of men, and he gives it to whoever he wants, and he appoints even the lowest of men, the basest of men, to preside. I believe, just like Daniel says, he sets up kings, he pulls down kings. So I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to rail. I might not like what some of these politicians do. In fact, I don't like what any of them do. But then on the other hand, this world's not my home. Somehow, I don't know how this has happened, but somehow in the last 6,000 years, God has managed to remain sovereign in the world without my help. I don't know how he's managed without me. I tell you, just, my political commentary is so important to him, you know.
No.
Not, but.
Amen.
Will you be spiritually minded?
Yes.
You're going to have to force yourself to, you know.
You're right.
That means there's some discipline that's going to be involved. Get your mind back in the Word of God. Back in the promises of God. Otherwise, you're going to lose your victory. You're going to lose your peace. You're going to lose your joy. You're going to lose your Christian testimony. You're going to find yourself too mad to really matter in the kingdom of God. Change nothing. Nothing changes. I have one final challenge. Will you discipline yourself in this new year to reestablish your intimacy with God? Reestablish your intimacy with God. That means you need to get back in your prayer closet. Time for just personal prayer. And again, this doesn't have to be an all-day affair, although you can find yourself praying all day, as we should. Walk and pray, drive and pray, cook and pray, work and pray, praying always, as the Bible says. But, you know, will you reestablish your intimacy with God by prayer, by communion with your Lord? The Bible tells us that we're to not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Sometimes the only time people pray is they got a problem. You can join us on Monday nights for prayer if you can. I believe that's a healthy thing. I believe it's a good thing. But pray. Will you discipline yourself this year to be a man, a woman of prayer? You can do better. You can do better than last year. You can do better than before. Now would you go back with me to Acts chapter 16? I just want to read a couple more verses. We talked about God opening doors and closing doors and closing the door of this past year and opening a brand new door in front of us. And you remember where we left off in Acts chapter 16? The doors had closed to the Apostle Paul. Verse 6 and 7, they had big plans. They were going to go over into proconsular Asia. The door closed. Verse 7, they were going to go into Bithynia. The door closed. Closed doors. So what is the Apostle Paul to do now? Think about it. He's been having a successful ministry. God has been doing wonderful things. These are the places he was planning to go. What now? Well, I'll tell you what many of us would be tempted to do. We would start wondering, well, is my missionary career over? Is this it? God's closed this door. Then he closed that door. Did I do something wrong? Hello? What did I do wrong? This door closed right in my face. Is God mad at me? Is God done with me? Is my usefulness in the kingdom finished? Well, one door closes, then you keep doing what you know you're supposed to do as a Christian. We pray. We trust the Lord. We listen to his voice. We follow his leading. In the following verses 8, 9, and 10 of Acts chapter 16, we read how the vision appeared to him from Greece. They believed they were supposed to go there. If you trust the Lord, you know he's going to guide you. And then they went, verse 11 says, they came to Neapolis. Then they went to Philippi, the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a Roman colony. We were there certain days on the Sabbath. We went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. This is where many of the Jewish people would go. There were some women there praying on the Sabbath. So, look, we sat down, we spoke unto the women that resorted there, just a handful of women, but we talked to them, and we talked to them about Jesus. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought of saying, if you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, you come here and stay in my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Guess what? God turned their disappointment into God's appointment. Their disappointment, where they couldn't go, God turned into an appointment. They wound up in Philippi, and right here, the church of the Philippians was born. Right here, the church in Philippi was born with a handful of women who were worshiping on the side of a river. Disappointment became God's appointment. And not only did they get saved, but let me tell you, she was from Thyatira, which is where Paul wanted to go to begin with. A door opened through that. Who knows but that this same woman was instrumental not only in founding the church in Philippi, but the church in Thyatira. Amen. Perhaps. We also know that here in Acts 16, in the city of Philippi, the Philippian jailer got saved and his house. Listen. This epistle that we read to the Philippians was written to the church founded here. Yeah. Disappointment can be a divine appointment. When you follow the Lord. Amen. You follow the Lord, you trust the Lord. Amen. He closes doors, He opens doors. Amen. He has a time. Sometimes doors close. Doesn't mean never, just might mean not yet or not now. In fact, there is a letter in the third chapter of Revelation. You don't have to turn there, but the Lord's speaking to the church in Philadelphia. He said, I've set before you an open door that no man can shut. I've set before you an open door. You know what I would like to remind us this morning? That the Lord has also set before you and me an open door. It's an open door into the very presence of God through Jesus Christ. The door is open. Do you know that you have access to walk through the door into the presence of Almighty God through the Lord Jesus Christ? He is the door. He said, I am the door. I set before you an open door. You can have personal intimacy with Almighty God, the greatest privilege bestowed on mortal man. You can walk through an open door. Amen. Into the very presence of God. You can walk through this open door and know God's forgiveness. You can know His acceptance. You can know His great grace and mercies. It's all open to you if you will walk through the open door. Amen. And that door is Christ. Amen. I give you an open door. That's your invitation. Your invitation. Amen. You can come. There's no barrier between us. If you will come. You know, the problem is we have a shut door to Christ. We have a shut door to Christ. He has an open door to us, but we have a shut door to Him. And that's why in Revelation 3, he said, I stand at the door and knock. You have to open your door. I would like to challenge you to open that door of your heart to Christ. See, he's invited you in. He's got the open door in front of you. But you have to open your door, the door of your heart, the door of your reluctance, the door of your reticence, the door that's everything that's barring you from being the man of God or the woman of God that we need to be, we ought to be, and he expects us to be.
Amen.
Because, as you know, His coming has got to be soon. Will you open the door? You know what's great? You don't have to make a door to God. He opens a door to you. I heard a great story not long ago about a group of musicians. They were in a local church, very talented young men. Instruments, songs, they were just so blessed and anointed. They started singing. They started getting invitations to come to churches and sing and play and worship. And just everywhere they went, people broke out in praise and worship. They got an invitation to come to a little rural church in Kentucky. So they went out to this small country church, rural Kentucky. They got up on the stage, the pastor was next to him, they got to singing, worshiping, praising, and the church just erupted in praise. Singing, pastors dancing next to him. First thing you know, one of the fellas from the front row comes up right in front of the stage, reaches down into a big box and pulls out a big rattlesnake. And then he starts kind of dancing around as the worship team is just singing. Another one comes up, reaches down the box, pulls out another big rattlesnake. Then a few others come up and they're passing the snakes around. And the leader of the worship team, he leans over to the pastor. He said, Pastor, where's the back door? Pastor said, we don't have a back door. And he said, well, you point to where you want one because we're out of here. He was going to make a door. You know what? You don't have to make a door to escape the devil's serpents. We have an open door to the Lord Jesus Christ, to his divine presence and protection and preservation and blessing.
Thank you, Jesus.
All you have to do, lower your own reservations and defenses and
Amen.
Excuses
Amen.
And walk through.
Amen.
Will you pray with me?
Lord,
we thank you for bringing us through another year. Lord, we come through it sometimes limping and scarred, but you've brought us through. Lord, you've been faithful. Lord, we know that you ever remain faithful. Lord, we know that we need to be faithful. We know we need to be more faithful. I pray, Lord, for myself and for each of us here, help us to be disciplined. Disciples. Help us, Lord, to discipline ourselves, to make real commitments, to grow, to be better men, better women, to be better husbands, to be better wives, better fathers, better mothers, better Christians, better equipped. Lord, my prayer for each and every one of us is that you would help us to be men and women who love your word and who will be disciplined to open it every day and be washed and refreshed from your holy writ. Lord, let us be men and women of prayer and praise and worship, men and women who are spiritually minded. Lord Jesus, I pray that each and every one of us would walk through that open door, that invitation that you've given us all to a greater intimacy with you. Let us be spiritual men, spiritual women. We pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen,
amen. Amen,
thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand together.